This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code WOW5.
You almost never talk about Jaina Proudmoore. I mean, she should have her own section.
You are listening to The Instance.
Oh, Hordeside. Hey, everybody. It's the freaking Instance. It's The Instance, everybody. Welcome to The Instance. It's Friday, May 3rd, 2013. This is the World of Warcraft cast. World of Warcraft? World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. It is me, Scott Johnson, and I'm joined by Brian with Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello, me. How are
you?
I mean, you.
How you doing?
How are you?
Oh, good. I'm fine. I'm all right.
That's good.
I sound a little... You know what? I'm a little tired. You want the truth?
Why are you tired?
It's Diablo related.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a minute.
I know what it is.
Just so your pointer finger is tired then.
Yeah.
Is it that you accidentally touched a mysterious black crystal and now you harbor the souls of Diablo and all the other primevals
that you couldn't think of on the moment's notice? Head.
I was trying to think of, like, what was it? Belial, Belia.
Belial, Bale, Bale.
Bile. Mephisto! That's the best name ever, Mephisto.
Something like, bladder. I don't know.
Name the child Mephisto.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea. No, don't do that. No, don't do that.
No, you know I'm going to name them?
What?
It has to be something beginning with a T, and then their middle name will have to be something beginning with an N, so their initials are TNT. How dynamite is that? That's pretty awful.
That's terrible. Also with us...
Nigel Terpster.
Timothy Nigel Terpster. Turpin. That's not bad.
That'd be good.
That TNT. Rolls right off the tongue, kind of like yesterday's barf. All right. Dills is joining us as well. Hello, Dills.
Hello. You know, T, if you did that, I just would want to be there for the first time when one of the teachers comes to you and says, "We've got to talk about Mephisto." Yeah. Because that moment, yeah. we really need to talk about Mephisto and what's going on. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Your son Beelzebub has he's pulling.
This is what would make it even more beautiful. They're like, "We got to talk about Beelzebub." Mm. Your son Beelzebub is doing fantastic. He is a joy to work with. He's amazing. Yeah, that's what I want to see.
It's incredible. I mean, he's dedicated to his
He's expressed an interest in joy.
All right. Well, devil children aside, it is The Instance. We're back. We got stuff to talk about. I'll tell you what I did. So I didn't have a lot of WoW time this week. I had Mr. Mom duties going on. Long story, but Kim was out of town with her sister for a few days, and so I was busy. So what little game time I had, I decided to throw, I don't know why, I got just in this mood. And this is how it works with me with Diablo. It's been true of the whole series, Diablo 2 especially. Every once in a while, I will have a crazy craving to play. And I'll dig in hardcore for a bunch of time, and then I'll get out, and then I won't play for a long time.
That's me all over as well. I mean, it's the way to play, I think, because the game deserves such a sort of chunk of your time to really play, and that's the thing. You kind of get sucked in like a Black Soulstone, and you're just trapped in there, clicking, just endlessly clicking.
Yeah.
Then you eventually break free, you give it a bit of time to breathe, and then you get sucked right back in.
So how much do you, I was just curious, when you're back to playing Diablo, how much shift clicking are you doing? Because I do a lot of shift clicking, like
shift clicking.
General area of a group of mobs come in my direction, and instead of me trying to get all nitpicky and click on one of them until they die, I'll just hold down shift and kind of hose down the area.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do you play? What class?
Mostly wizard, but occasionally.
But how are you playing it? Because I'm playing mine still like a crit, just a crit build. I'm just going in there and like AoEing everywhere and just, you know, mashing all the buttons.
I'm doing that too, but
hoping that my cooldowns are refreshed.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm out of mana, I have to get smart and do other things, and that's usually when I do the shift. But the reason I just do that is there's a precision issue, especially when you're playing in the harder levels. where you just, it's hard to pinpoint a dude if that is what you want to do. So when I need to do that, that's the biggest
challenge for me in that game is picking one guy out that's the lowest health guy and actually hitting him.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky to rock around. Sorry, Beastie, or running DMC moment for us.
Running DMC.
It does sound like a mod.
Sounds like running MC. I'm like, yeah, I remember doing that back at level 60. It's good.
But anyway, I decided for, I don't know why, last night I got just this wild hair to roll a freaking witch doctor. And I hadn't really played one to any degree up till now. I have other alts. I've mainly played
Dogs and Frogs.
Well, I decided, I was like, all right, we're going to go one melee and one kind of ranged magic. And I always go magic when I can. So wizard was an easy choice. And then I went monk for the melee class and ran that for as much Diablo as I have played, really. So I decided last night, let's start a witch doctor. Let's see what's up. I'll see what's going on. And I got roped in and I played all night. And I don't know why I played so long, but I did. And there you have it. The game's mad easy. This is just a reminder to Diablo players who maybe haven't been in a while. You forget how, if the game has a weakness, no game's perfect, but if it has a weakness that bothers me, it's that once you've cleared somebody past the first run through the game, I think that should unlock difficulty levels. I guess it can't because of the way the progression works, but anyway, it's just mad easy to get through that first run. It's tutorial mode, so there's no huge challenge, but it's still addicting as all hell.
Yeah, I remember when I hopped in for the first time, and then someone was like, hey, I'll come over there and I'll play with you. And I was like, we don't really need to do that. I was like, that sounds fun and everything, but I'm just clicking through everything right now.
Yeah, so you don't really need it.
Need help. Yeah, it was a higher level guy, too. And I was like, if it's going to become that easy, that's just going to bore the crap out of me. So
sure. Yeah. Well, this is what happened. So the reason I think I got into this, or I got excited to play it again, is I did get a chance last weekend to play the Marvel Heroes beta.
Oh.
And that is... it's Marvel stuff, but it's Diablo clone.
Diablo-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And you get to play as some of your favorite heroes.
You
such
do.
Such as Ant-Man.
Well, so when I got in, they give you a certain selection in the beta, or you can go straight to buying a new hero. And here's something I want to mention. I mentioned this last week on something else. I don't remember what it was. But it's TMS. But here's the deal. The default dudes, I think it's Hawkeye and his dumb purple outfit. So it's true comic-y looking dudes, not the movie guys, right? I can't remember who else. Bunch of other people I didn't care about. So I chose him and I fought with him. And you go to the store because it's going to be a free-to-play game and you can unlock heroes by paying for them with either earned currency or just straight-up money, right? Like you do with these games these days. So I go in there. And they've got a pretty good selection of all the heroes you want to see. There's Spider-Man's in there and Iron Man's in there and all this other stuff. And I got to thinking, they're really funny about what's worth more in the eyes of players and what isn't. So let's just go back, let's say 15 years. Back when Iron Man was a B-level, second-tier hero, he was not important to the overall Marvel push. I agree with you. There's always some good stories there, but he was not leader of the pack. It was Spider-Man, it was X-Men, it was Wolverine, it was the mainstays of the Marvel universe, and Iron Man did not have center stage. He never did. Suddenly in 2008, movie changes everything. Iron Man's hot dude on campus, all the Avenger comics start leaning toward him having a more of a leadership role and less of a backseat to Captain America. Like there's just this huge shift in popularity.
If you think about the movies that came out before Iron Man, that's when you can kind of see the tier of who everybody thought was more important. Like the Catwoman movie came out way before Iron Man.
Right. And the thing is, I mean, Fox owns the rights to produce X-Men movies, and Fox owns the rights to produce Spider-Man, or Sony does rather, to do the Spider-Man movies. And Marvel's like, well, we're going to do our own now, so let's start with Iron Man.
Just make our ones cooler.
Yeah. And we'll make him a level star. Okay, great. They've done that. So I go into the store, back to my point, and all of the heroes are like 750 whatever currency, 350 for this guy you've never heard of. Blah, 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 blah. You get to Iron Man, 2,000. He's like the maximum amount of money you can spend on a hero. And arguably, he's no better or worse than anybody else in there. But that is game in the system. So what I'm hoping doesn't happen here is that when Hearthstone comes out,
Hang on. Let's go back. So you're complaining that Tony Stark is too expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the richest man ever. Like, unless he's up there with Bruce Wayne, yeah. if we're going to go across comic book.
You're going to cross the streams, okay.
He's allowed, yeah. surely, his net worth, if you wanted to buy him, he's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
You know, Parker should be very cheap. He's a scrounging student, doesn't really have money.
$10 for his photos. Exactly.
Yeah. Easy. You say, like, oh, yeah, my spider sense is tingling. Have you got any money in your wallet? Yeah. Because I think you do. I'll be like, all right, Pete, I'll give you a tenner if you go and just, you know, beat up some bad guys for me.
Sure.
You know, whereas Tony Stark, he's a busy man. He's expensive.
I think they're taking advantage of...
That's what I think. Prince Gallywick in Hearthstone, if he's ever in there, he should be the most expensive. Or maybe Lando for his loot cards.
Well, that was going to be my lead around question. Are we to expect Hearthstone to apply a greater value on unlockable pay for cards and packs simply because, you know, Thrall gets more screen time or something?
Are we buying individual cards? I thought we were just buying packs.
You're just buying packs, I guess.
Okay, so then it doesn't matter because it's just going to be random anyway.
That's a good point, yeah. I guess they're not going to do that.
Yeah, if you were buying individual cards, absolutely you'd see that. You'd see, like, Jaina, Thrall, those would be the most expensive cards. Arthas, Lich King, you know.
Yeah, they'd be huge, and then you'd pay nothing.
Those would be the huge cards, and then you'd be paying absolutely nothing.
Like a Hogger card would cost you 25 cents or something.
No, a Hogger would be expensive.
No, Hogger's legendary, man. Yeah.
You'd imagine, like, if you had Blanchy or something, the old horse from Westfall. The Alliance, they love Blanchy. Blanchy's one of the Alliance heroes.
Yeah.
You know, God rest her soul. And so I think that there's, you know, numerous opportunities to exploit the franchise in the marketer's eyes. But unfortunately, Blizzard are trying to do it a bit more fair than that. But
I'm glad that they're doing
But I'm just trying to think who would be the best in the ethos to have. And I'm thinking probably some Titans, Burning Legion and Old Gods. Yeah. They've got to be pretty strong.
Old Gods, obviously, you can't kill them. So,
Yogg-Saron, dude.
Can't die now.
Yeah, Yogg-Saron will make the other player have to take his card inside his brain and fight him in there. And it's a great idea.
So C'thun's just going to eat the other player, and then you've got to try and eat your way out. You know, beat your way out, you can't.
Dills, we got to go on a campaign to get Blizzard to include a Hodir card and have him yell that Hodir when he comes in the room.
Every time the card appears, you just hear Hodir.
Oh, I would crap my pants.
That'd be amazing.
Be the greatest thing ever.
That could work.
Yeah, it'd be all right. Also dived into what they're calling the Neverwinter Open Beta. I would actually call it the Neverwinter Open Early Alpha. That thing's got issues and problems.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with it, though. Like, the whole community-made content.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing I used to back in the day. I used to really want to make Warcraft quests and dungeons and stuff like that. And I love that Neverwinter's like, sweet, do it.
It's a great legacy, too, right? Because coming from the old BioWare game, that was one of the hallmarks of that game. It was that, hey, you can go make your own scenarios, your own stuff, and whatever, and people can download it. This is even better, because now we've got this online situation that didn't exist in the Neverwinter.
Share it, exactly, yeah. I mean, and the beautiful thing about it, though, is that game developers are very talented people, but there's no way they can be more talented than everyone else combined. And that's really what you see with pretty much every game out there. Community-made content, if it's, you know, correctly enabled, you know, just pretty much always wins out. You know, look at the best things that happen in Minecraft have always, in my opinion, been the community-made mods.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, you know, with WoW, all the add-ons that are out there, you know, they just really make the game better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a massive, massive, massive fan of what they're doing with Neverwinter. And yeah, it is buggy as anything. And it looks a little bit like, I don't know, Final Fantasy meets Lord of the Rings. I'm not sure about the visual style yet.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's that nice, but it's
okay, but it's not blowing like your mind. Yeah.
Exactly. Like when I see stuff from, is it Wildstar, the NCSoft one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, I'm still blown away with how good that looks and how kind of like if you were to make Warcraft today, that's how it should have looked, sort of thing, that beautiful, you know, really well animated, high quality style.
Yeah,
but yeah, Neverwinter, I think, is really one to watch as a fun alternative.
Yeah,
but
I just wish it was less buggy. I couldn't get in. The queue times were real bad at first. Then the patcher wouldn't work. And then when you did get in, there was some kind of just jumping all over the map going on with me, and my character couldn't get anywhere. Mm. And then when I finally got in, I had to go somewhere. I always go magic, so I made a, what's that guy called? It's a D&D class, even. Something mage, something wizard man combo. Dude.
Wizard man.
That's it.
I wish that was a class. That would be amazing.
Abracadabra, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
That game will be free to play though, which is cool. It's gonna, I think, right? Yeah. It looks really rad, and so I'm excited to play a little bit more. It looks like it may be a nice. Well, like you said, this thing's gonna be for me is gonna be. It's going to be about how good that campaign is, and I'm excited about that campaign. And it's cool to get a free-to-play game that's got a good campaign attached to it that isn't just pure multiplayer. But mostly I'm excited about what people make out of the thing.
I think it's very clever because the thing that every MMO to market has always fallen short on post-WoW is having more content than WoW.
Yeah.
And better, you know, more consistently good content than WoW. And as long as they can find a way to correctly moderate and rank community-made content, I think it's going to be... you know, a great way, maybe a really good way going forward for people to make MMOs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you look at all these other games that take, you know, 8 years to develop, and the fact is that they're quite bad to begin with, so it doesn't really matter how much content they have. WoW is always going to trounce them all. But, you know, for things like this, potentially, you could get a game with as much high-quality content as World of Warcraft eventually.
Yeah, and that's what you want in the end. Dills, what have you been up to? Anything good?
Well, it's been like 80 degrees here for the last week, 80 plus. So, not a lot of WoW.
Or cold.
That's, yes. Let me put this into terms you understand. That's like what? It's like 30 or something? I don't know.
Oh, that's hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot.
That's that's nerdtacular weather, by the way. We're going to have that. Maybe slightly cooler because we're in the mountains.
Snowing. Whenever I've seen picture this place...
In July? No. It will not be. It will not be snowing in July. It'll be nice and warm.
So pack shorts or pack a coat?
Shorts.
You probably might need both.
Colorful shorts?
Unless you want to take that coat and sleep in it outside in the nighttime, then no, you don't need a coat. It's going to be warm. Yeah, okay. It'll be like 90 down in the valley or 90 plus, 95 or something.
Again, is that hot or is that cold?
It's hot. That's I don't know what it is. You and your space points over there with your freaking...
Well, the thing is that it sounds hot, but then equally you're cold. Still sounds quite hot. So that's why I don't get the whole Fahrenheit thing. It's just confusing.
Here, Google will tell me. 85 equals 29.44 Celsius.
Yeah, that's quite hot.
So I was pretty close then, yeah. So it's been about 30 or so here in San Francisco for the past week straight. We're going to have about another week of it. So right now it's outside time because we don't get this in San Francisco very much. So when it happens, the great thing is when it happens, like, almost the entire city just goes, well, I'm calling in sick, and we all just kind of go out and do stuff. So we've had margarita night with the roommates. We've had, you know, sitting out on the porch. We've had hanging out at cafes that have outdoor areas. We've had the beach. We've had golf. We've had all that. So
all the real life stuff that you enjoy.
Not you a name lot of, it. But I do want to give a shout out to someone, a girl named Yara, who I met at the pool hall, actually. Okay. I had a huge
party.
Conversation.
Josh is really into hearing what this Yara had to say.
Huge conversation about WoW with her for 2 hours, and that was the last thing I expected when I walked into the pool hall. All right, T.
Did she play it, or did she just not really understand what it was?
No, she plays. She saw I had a sports sweatshirt on, and she turns her phone around. And it's got an Alliance thing on it, and I was like,
did you punch her in the face?
Immediately. Arrow and Shocker.
I'm a huge Garage fan, so I stumped her and made the pool hall run red with her blood.
Of course, you did.
And I said, "Let's do this." But no, I mean, we had a really good conversation. She's been kind of out of the game for a while, and so I was like, "Well, when you come back, you should come to AIE." So we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, just chat out. She didn't even know about the show, so she might know about it now.
She's not
she? Yeah, not so very.
But she's Horde side.
That's good. We don't like Horde sides. Horde sides are good.
Yeah,
Horde side. There we go.
Yeah, I have two Horde sides now.
Horde side.
I have two Horde sides.
Okay.
Yeah.
The pool hall is to talk about WoW with somebody, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's very cool. This keeps happening to me, too. I keep running into people, more and more just people out there. Like, they'll see my wallet. Who was that dude in our guild that gave me the wallet, or in our raid team?
The Leatherman. What was his name?
I can't remember. I can never remember his name, but I don't even have it here.
Dragon Leatherman,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got a big Horde symbol on the one side and GURP on the other side, and it's just awesome. I love it. It's just held up, and it's a great little wallet, and I always pull it out at some place, and without fail, probably 75% of the time, someone will go, oh, you play World of Warcraft.
Kyle. That was it.
Kyle. Is that
Kyle,
it?
Rogue Dragon.
Yeah, there you go. They it happens all the time. Happened to the bookstore the other day. It happened at a Sonic outdoor, like, what do you call it? A food place? What's it called? At a Sonic, you know, a Sonic.
I think it's called Sonic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, at the drive-up. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
and Sonic. That girl got all googly about, ooh, I love, oh, I play. Where do you play? What do you do? And she just wanted to talk and talk and talk. And I think that's a good sign for the permeation of the culture, right?
Well, that's the thing. Nice. The game, people talk about how the game has been around for so long. Maybe it's losing steam. But when I meet people, people seem to be still very excited about this game. So
yeah,
maybe
there's less total, but the people who are still here are still fully engaged and fully into the story. So
yeah. I'm finding, at least, you know, with the people I kind of work with and hang out with, there's actually more people playing now, and people are coming back now. Kind of, they've heard good things about Myst. It's kind of permeated through the kind of gaming culture enough, I think, that people are like, wow, actually this is a good time to come back. And yeah, we're all kind of playing now, you know, even more, I guess, internally, and loving it. And I think at least, again, I'm seeing more people playing around me than I previously have in the past. And I think that's going to keep going.
Do you think Blizzard mission accomplished in the mission to make Myst more approachable by people, either coming back or new, because the panda thing is a welcoming thing?
I think the panda thing was a bad thing for core gamers, yeah, because they saw pandas and thought casual. I think what's happened now is that the game's kind of shown that there's been, you know, faster patches with better content, with new stuff coming out, more challenges, more things to do, and there just seems to be ticking enough additional boxes. I think if the new faction or race or whatever had been fell demons or something like that, then people might have been a little bit more kind of on it from the beginning. I think often the Pandaren being cute and cuddly and pandas, you know, put a lot of people off.
Right.
At least, you know, again, in that sort of core hardcore gaming group. And they've always been the most vocal people out there, and they're the core that kind of keep WoW ticking over in terms of raid content and smashing down through new bosses and making it interesting for us to talk about new stuff.
It'd be interesting though to see if the numbers, because I'm sure that the panda thing, Blizzard's not stupid. They knew when this panda thing came out, it wasn't just, hey, this is a story we absolutely want to tell. There had to have been a piece of them that was saying, or a faction of them saying, we also think this might, you know, even if it's just internally, this might attract a more casual audience than those.
I think
you can do both things.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, actually, is that they did the panda thing. And then they also, like Terpster said, they are putting out content faster and more things to do than they ever have in the past. So the hardcore people feel completely satisfied with the fact that I'm constantly getting pushed to continue to beat new content.
Yeah.
And the other people are thinking, I get to play a panda until level 20, and then I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And both people are happy.
Yeah.
That's what I think they did, and they did a great job of that. Because if you just pick one side or the other, then you lose the other side, and you can't be the biggest MMO in the world if you do that. So
that's a good point. Well said, sir.
All beautifully right. said.
Well, let's get to some damn news.
Big news of the week.
Big news of the week this week brought to you by Typefrag.com. Typefrag.com offering the best in Ventrilo service, TeamSpeak, and Mumble service to any of your guilds anywhere in the world. Go check them out at Typefrag.com. When you check out, let them know we sent you. That's Typefrag.com. We love them. All right. New York Times crossword references World of Warcraft. We finally made it, baby. Check this out. It's a slow news week. All right.
By the way, this would be impossible for someone who doesn't play WoW.
Yeah, it would
This would be impossible. Mm-hmm. How would you get this right?
Today's New York Times crossword includes a clue any non-MMO player wouldn't know. This, according to WoW Insider, amongst its standard pop culture references and strict definitions, today's crossword puzzlers encountered the following clue, as shown by Jack Thompson, not that Jack Thompson you're thinking of, guy via Twitter. And here was the question, or not the question, but the clue. It said. Okay. Hold on, let me bring it up. Says
World of Warcraft event.
Event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four letters.
Four letter beginning with R. So we know what it is.
I already know what it is. Terpster, you know what it is, right? Immediately.
It is road.
Yeah, road. It's yeah, road. You're right. You got it. Right.
All those events where you go on the road.
Right.
Random dungeon.
Four letters.
Yeah, but spelled R-N-D.
Not four words, not four paragraphs. Four letters.
I'm just trying to think what it could be.
Well, you know, in all fairness, Herb doesn't do this very often.
Right. This thing that it refers to, this
event. Rotation.
Yeah, rotation. That's it. Four letters, right? Yeah. You got
skilled
it.
Rotation.
Yep, you nailed it.
Like face roll, but yeah.
Nailed role play. Roll.
No.
Right.
No.
Roll. No. No.
Play. No, I don't know. RP. No.
All right. It's raid.
That's okay. Raid. Oh, don't give it away. Raid.
Oh, no.
I think Dills makes a damn good point. I don't know anybody who's really into that crossword puzzle thing as a regular. I'm not saying that people don't play WoW. Obviously, it's enough in the cultural vernacular that it made it into the crossword. But
yeah, but this particular it's hard. Thing, you're not going to know that if right. you don't. This game, like maybe they could say, World of Warcraft character or something like that, and you could say orc or whatever,
right?
And people might know that, but if you specifically reference raiding, I don't, if you don't know anything about MMOs, you're just going to get stuck on that until you get with like the R, the A, and the I or something.
Yeah.
Even then, you might say like rain or something, like an event. Rain, I don't know.
What's that, Dave? 38, yeah. Which was broadcast online in real time.
Yeah.
Stream.
Yeah.
Stream, sure.
41, contact lens cleaner brand. No idea.
Okay.
42, little litter sound.
Little litter sound?
I don't know if that's Yelp, pitter patter.
That is.
45, thick veined vegetable. A thick veined vegetable.
Whoa.
Sounds like
gross.
Is that
I don't want it, whatever it is.
I don't know. The only one I can get is 50. American Pie Actress Tara.
Tara Reid.
This is the New York Times crossword, which is supposed to be like the hard one. And depending on like what day is this? Did they say what day it is?
This would have been Sundays. Which is the big one, right?
That's the hard one. Wasn't it? Right?
I don't know. I can't see.
Okay, so it's like Monday is the easy day, and then it gets progressively harder throughout the week.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Abbey so Road Track.
They love hard.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Maybe Terps, you got it mixed up. America Pie Actress Tara Raid and World of Warcraft event The Reed.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Does that make more sense?
I can see 07 best nominee. I'm thinking that's Skyfall. I reckon it's 007 best picture nominee.
Oh, nice. Was it, though? Was it the best nominated, or wasn't nominated, was it? No,
I don't know.
No,
I'm just that's all here. I can make out from something that looks like that.
Maybe in maybe in the BAFTAs.
55 just says hipster. That could be anything. Again, I've got no context, but maybe the point of this is that if you've got no idea about 46, you solve all the others, and then it's presented to you.
Might be.
Yeah.
Odd little thing. Anyway, that showed up, and welcome to the big time. Here's another big time story. Superman star, the upcoming Man of Steel star. Henry Cavill enjoys Skyrim, but mostly he enjoys World of Warcraft. And here's the best thing. He almost missed the phone call that gave him the job to be the next Superman because he ignored the call because he was in the middle of playing WoW and doing probably a raid, according to the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Four letters across right. World of Warcraft event. That's anyway. What I'm going to ask people. Do you want a World of Warcraft event with me?
That seems inappropriate.
Do you want to queue up for a World of Warcraft event?
Would you like to WoW event with me?
Well, it seems somehow inappropriate. Somehow. He is once dubbed the unluckiest man in Hollywood after missing out just on blockbusters from James Bond to Harry Potter. He's tried to be in all these things and turned down every time. But Henry Cavill's finally flying high.
Sorry, I'm the unluckiest man in Hollywood then because I've never been in anything, Scott.
Well, you need to go and do more.
Oh, is that part of it? You also have to try?
You have to actually, you got to try out. What do they call that? You have to audition.
Audition,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, we have our IMDb pages now.
I noticed that because we're in that Race to World First business.
Really?
Yeah, all three of us.
Oh, man. Does that mean I can submit a picture?
Yeah, you could.
Sure. I've always wanted to submit a picture.
Yeah,
I think other people should do it though. It's kind of like Wikipedia.
Yeah, like, I think that is what you want, and you can always tell like when Steven Seagal writes his own stupid bio. Goes,
that's crazy. It just says self.
My ponytail is awesome.
You're like, wait a minute, wait like just a minute.
Paragraphs upon paragraphs of ponytail exposition.
literally, mine has on here says Mark Turpin. My filmography says self,
yeah.
One title. I'm not an actor.
Right.
I'm self. Race to World's first documentary. And then, did you know, under the trivia, nickname, Terpster.
Wow. So,
there you go. That's amazing trivia there. You can click on see more, and it's like, yeah, there's not actually anything more.
There's no more see more.
What is it here?
That's it.
But it's kind of cool. Look at that. It says, you know, it's funny. We're the only three that didn't get character names from, or, you know, like people they were playing in the movie. So everybody else got like their gamer tags, like Lollipop and Era Hat and Zoomkins.
That's because we're professionals, Scott.
Is that why?
As professionals to professionally narrate said film and movie.
Look, I'm going to put it out there that our listeners who are devoted and know us better than we know ourselves, why don't you all take to the internet, get on IMDb, however this works, I don't know how they even do it, and submit little bios for us, get some photos up there. Come on,
I'd love that.
Yeah.
And if any of you are really good artists, you can just draw us. In like MS Paint or something like that.
Yeah,
I was apparently in a movie called The Ultimate Truth in 2004. I totally forgot about that.
What? Well, don't even search for Scott.
Let me see what I played.
Don't even search. Don't search Scott. For my name.
I can't remember. Oh, I played Tim.
Yeah. Why are you LXXXI? What does that mean?
Those are all Roman numerals, I think.
I wasn't sure if you were a large XXX international actor.
I'm not anywhere in this because, oh no, I am the second one down. But if you look at all those names, all those Scott Johnsons, that's the problem with my whole life. I am Legion. There are too many of me.
Are you in the Hunger Games?
I was in the Hunger Games. I also just was named head coach of the Scottish rugby team. So that's
really?
Good.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Did you hear about that?
That's no.
Big deal going on in the UK.
Good. Good. Anyway. Well, up in Scotland.
Well, they're part of the United Kingdom. That is
For how long?
Well, I don't know. Are they feeling randy? What are they going
to
do?
They're trying to get independence at the moment, and we're like, well, you can have it, but you can't have our money, so you have to have the rubbish money that they have in Europe. And they're like, that's no fair.
That's no
like
fair. That.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. And so we'll see how it goes.
Well, WoW needs voice actors.
I'm going to Scotland in a couple of weeks.
Are you, actually?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'll be beating up when I get there. Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. All right. That's where Groundskeeper Willie is from.
It is.
Trivia.
It is.
A little trivia for you there.
There you go.
Did we lose Dills? We did. I don't know why.
We did. He's having Skype issues.
Oh, that's fantastic. He's getting Skypey, he says. We'll call him back.
Skypey.
His internet is less than reliable.
Brought to you by Comcast.
Anyway, what was my point? Oh, we never got to the story here. So, Henry Cavill.
Yep.
But this is what it says. He's a huge nut about video games, and he loves comic books and all this kind of stuff, which is great. It makes me real happy. It makes me forgive the fact that he's British and he's playing Superman. I'm tired of our heroes getting...
Oh, I'm sorry, the American hero from another planet isn't played by an American.
Batman is from Wales. He's from Britain. We got a British Spider-Man. What the hell is going on over there?
Well, you know what it is, though. It's how it should be.
Is it how it should be?
Yeah, because what happens there is basically, you know, we've got Batman, okay, English butler.
Yeah.
Makes sense for him to be from the United Kingdoms as well.
Well, that I give
That's
you.
Where they met.
Sure.
And then, you know, Superman, he's an illegal alien. And as such, you know, Henry Cavill didn't have a green card.
Okay.
That's his method acting.
We're lucky we got Kevin Costner in there just to weigh things down a little bit with the American side.
Well, exactly. Well, Russell Crowe played Robin Hood. With the world's worst ever, it's not even an English accent. It's not even like, I don't know. It's like someone said, Russell, whatever you do, don't sound American. Uh-huh. And he was like, well, I'll sound like nothing then. Husband, but wife. It's just like, you know, he can do like gruff and like grizzled, but you try and get him to do like, you know, I'm Robin of Locks. You know, it's horrible. It was terrible.
I didn't mind that movie as much as everybody seemed to not like it.
Really?
Oh,
you didn't
right.
mind it?
I didn't mind it.
Fantastic review.
Well, look,
that's going to be on the Blu-ray. Because that's the best they could find.
I'm a Ridley Scott apologist. I pretty much like everything he does, even if it sucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Did you like Prometheus?
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how apologetic.
I'm a little terrified of seeing it because that's all I've heard is bad, terrible things about it. Here's the thing, though. Have you seen his movie Kingdom of Heaven, the director's cut?
I've seen Kingdom of Heaven, but I haven't seen...
Okay, Kingdom of Heaven is terrible theatrically.
The director's cut.
The theatrical cut is awful. Like, I will say right up front, that is a bad movie.
Why's that? Did he get someone like, did he get the work experience guy to cut it? What's the point?
I don't know, but I know he had to cut a ton and it sucked. And when you see the much longer, but much, much, much better director's cut, that is one of the best movies he's ever made. It's such a stark black and white difference between those two films. So I keep hoping that like Robin Hood will get a director's cut or that Prometheus will have some, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not going to judge it, but, you know, have some revival because he just decides he's going to go back and do like Blade Runner style and fix it up or something. I don't know. But I love him. Let's stop ripping on him. You know what else he's good at? And he's lost his brother. Can we have a moment of silence for him?
What? No, hang on. You can't just claim immunity from making terrible films because you've had a bereavement. It wasn't like his brother was like doing the bad direction for him.
Right.
And it's like, you know, okay, well, go easy on him. He's gone now. Okay. So, you know, sorry about that. And then, you know, going forward, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, we're getting.
It's okay. I like getting off track. It's fun. Okay. All right. It says this. He enjoys WoW so much. This is back to Zack Snyder's Superman, Henry Cavill. Yep. Okay. He enjoys the game so much that he missed director Zack Snyder's call offering him the part. I saw it was him calling. Cavill told this to GQ. But the thing is, you can't save World of Warcraft. You can't pause it. It's live. The game ruled the day. He almost didn't get his call back.
See, what's great is this is GQ talking about it. Now, if this were any other publication, it would be like Superman star Henry Cavill admits addiction to online game nearly cost him role in upcoming movie. You know, they take a different slant on it. Yeah. And what he's saying is like, no, the thing is that, you know, being there for my friends and my buddies and saving the world of Warcraft was more important than at that point in time, me saving Metropolis or just the world in a fictional.
Well, just
fictional
answering world. A phone call. That's all.
Exactly. And I'd be like, Zach, stop phoning me up. What's the deal?
Mm. I'll call you back. It's fine. I have I have your number right here. There's a thing called messaging now. You can leave a message.
I've seen Sucker Punch. It was horrible.
Yeah, that's probably what's the actual reason. Yeah. It's like, Zach, I haven't forgiven you for Sucker Punch still.
Yeah, and why should he?
Yeah, bro.
Nobody look, should. the problem with Zack Snyder is I've loved everything he's done but that.
Really?
All good.
Well, that was just a really, I think that was a very ambitious project that just didn't work on any level. So I appreciate what they're trying to do with that, but oh my God.
Yeah, pretty bad. But
they missed left and right.
300's great. I thought Watchmen was awesome.
I really like Watchmen. Yeah, I
thought it was good.
Dr. Manhattan's penis was just perfectly rendered.
It was something else, man. Wow.
It was exceptional use of CG and physics and
motion capture.
It really was. It was one of those real moments in history, cinema history, where just technology gets, you know, it gets to that pinnacle when all the tech's in the right place to kind of really, really, really. It was a seminal moment.
You say pinnacle and seminal.
It was just beautiful.
Hey guys, if I might take a moment to tell you a little bit more about Shutterstock.com. They're sponsoring this episode of The Instance, and they're awesome for creative professionals. Are you a graphic designer or illustrator? I do that. I do a bunch of that. And guess what? I need services like Shutterstock.com to help me find the perfect image or video for my next big project, whether it's for a website, a publication, an advertisement, a video, or whatever you're working on. You can choose from 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. They might help me enhance, for example, the video edition of The Instance, which we're doing now. Today's episode will be up on the YouTube channel on Frog Pants TV. You can just check it out on YouTube. And who knows, one of these days I might use something out of there as we get going. Shutterstock uses sourced images from all around the world and puts them at your fingertips. 10,000 images or more each day, every time you visit, something new. And they have great flexible pricing. You can choose individual image packs or a monthly subscription for the best deal. You can download 25 images a day with a standard subscription, for example. And you can download any image, any size, and pay only one price. They give you what you want, when you want it, and how you need it. They have sophisticated tools. Go check them out. You can try them out for free. Once you've kind of got your feet wet, you know what's going on. No credit card needed, by the way. Just start one of their accounts using Shutterstock to help sort of imagine what your next project could be like. Save some of your favorite images. Check them out on the Lightbox. Review them later. They have a great app on the iPad as well. Once you decide to purchase, use the offer code WOW5. That's WOW5, WOW5. And new accounts will receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 30% off any new account, use the offer code WOW5. We appreciate their support of the instance. I met a guy. I was going to save the story for the morning stream on Monday, but I met this guy named Eric Sean. Was his name?
Schlong.
Eric Sean. Sean. Just like, hey, my name's Sean. His last name is Sean. Like Sean Basic. Remember him?
Yeah.
And his first name was Eric. Now just put those two together and just say it in your head. Say Eric Sean quickly.
Eric Sean.
Eric Sean.
Erection.
Erection. Wow. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You guys are quick.
How does that work then? Did he ever get called names in school?
I don't know. I would have. I'd have given him. I would have applied plenty.
Apparently, Don Glover didn't get called names in school.
Yeah, Don Glover.
he said he only realized it later in life.
He said he realized it when he wrote it on his Twitter or something like that, and he was like, "Wait a minute!"
Because
he had to put it all together.
The term Don Glover shouldn't have made me laugh as hard as it just did. I feel like a 12-year-old now.
Well, if Eric Sean did get teased a lot as a kid, I'm sure it just made him hard, right?
Yeah.
So he's very.
Yeah,
whatever doesn't kill him makes him harder.
Yeah,
so. Yeah.
He was a hard kid for sure.
Is he in construction or anything like that? I'd love it. Buildings.
Yes, so wear a little hard hat. Yeah,
he makes fantastic erections all over Utah.
Yeah. Yes. I wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah. I guess he is in Utah, but I don't know what he does.
You know, his special move is poking you in the eye.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So if you get into a fight with him, watch out for that.
Just poke me in the eye. He said to me, he says, "Hey, I go. Well, I am. I was just meeting him. I said, I'm Scott Johnson. He goes, "Oh, I'm Eric Sean." And all I could hear was Eric Sean.
Did he try and make fun of you for having a surname of Johnson? That would have been brilliant.
No, he's but like, he could have.
Johnson as in a member. Yeah. Yes, that's very good.
I get
that's
it.
Very good.
That's pretty
and you'd
good.
Be like, really? Yeah. Eric Sean is making fun of my name.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Tweet stuff. I like the tweets. Sometimes we get some good stuff from Ghostcrawler. Here's a couple of them. These are of interest to WoW players, I believe. Hey, Ghostcrawler says a question on Twitter. Is there a specific lore reason why flying is disabled in Silver Moon City or Eversong Woods, or just an oversight? He wrote back, making Silver Moon flyable would take longer than it took to make Stormwind flyable. Just wasn't built for that in mind.
Yeah, we've talked about this on the show.
I don't know if I believe it, though. I don't know.
It's on the same server as Outlands. So, in theory, if you could find a place to fall off or fly up, I forget which way it would be, but you'd get to Outlands. And so they would have to literally put it on another... They'd have to rebuild it as part of Azeroth's landmass and put it part of that bit, It's not easy.
Because you actually go through a portal to get to it, too, from regular old Azeroth. So it's on a separate area. And also, they didn't build, so they'd have to redo like they did with Stormwind, all that stuff, for a town nobody goes to.
Yeah.
If I'm Blizzard, I'm saying I'm not putting resources on this. That's just
silly. Unless they make Lothamar the new Horde leader.
Ooh.
And that way they can be like, the reason we've done this is because we really needed to make Silvermoon flyable. I can't see that happening either. So
by the way, if he becomes leader of the Horde and it's not what's his name,
well, do you know what would happen though?
Vol'jin.
We would never forget the Sunwell.
No, we would. We'd always be reminded
I would never forget it.
No. But here's what I like about the idea. I generally don't think they're gonna do it because I just think he's just not the guy you pick. But if they did, he has a business quality to the way he deals with things. There's a very sort of, welcome, I'm glad you've come to assist us in this needy blah, blah, blah. Like he is very to the point, emotions don't seem to rule his day. Despite his addiction to mana, it's not a problem. He's been able to control it. He's got it kind of, he's focused with it.
He's like a high-flying executive who has a coke problem.
Yes!
It's okay. He can handle it. He's got enough money. He can get the good stuff. Uh-huh. Let's not focus on that. Let's deal with the task at hand. How are we going to reduce this deficit and put this company in the plus?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
You've just made it all make sense to me. All right, so don't expect it. I think Dill's reason is the biggest reason, which is no one goes there. And so unless you're going to repurpose that place to make it much more like a place to go, then why the hell
there was a reason?
There's a reason to go there sometimes.
Well, the only reason that we ever go there is for craft fairs, and we go there specifically because nobody else is there.
Yeah.
Like, that is the place to go because, okay, I can, I actually do have a couple characters parked there just because it's a really easy place to just kind of manage your auction house stuff and things like that.
Well, yeah, and like you said, for guys like us, where we come from this guild that annoys everyone else whenever we do anything as a group,
Yeah.
It's best to do it in a place where we can't really annoy anyone. There's always one or two goobers in there just trying to get around.
Well, there's some brand new, brand new characters in there, some level 10 blood elves, but that's pretty much it. Yep. So,
all right. So there's that. I got another one that says, any news on the heirloom BOA shields in 5.3? The answer came back, no known issues with them at the moment. Looks positive for 5.3. So if you want your bind on account shields, your heirloom shields, you're going to have them in 5.3. That's good news for people.
There you go.
We actually had emails about that, which is funny.
I just love the Magic 8 Ball style answers, though. No known issues with them at the moment. Looks positive for 5.3. You can understand that Greg can't actually say, like, yeah, it's going to be 5.3. Because obviously things happen. You know, it might not be.
Sure.
And, you know, whereas if I was saying to you, Scott, I will be there Wednesday. And then Wednesday rolls around, I'm like, Scott, actually, something's come up. I'm a little bit ill. All this other stuff. You'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But if I did that to World of Warcraft fans, they'd be like, what the? What? And so I'd say, like, it looks good for Wednesday. At the moment, everything is really going well.
Yeah.
Plans indicate that I should be there on Wednesday.
Right.
I will confirm it on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
it's all like you've met with council, you've come up with a message, you're on message.
Exactly. Totally. We're good. Yeah. We're good.
I like that. I just want to say again, and I've said this a few times, and there are people who really disagree with me on this point. But I don't think Blizzard has been more transparent and more community connected than ever in their history than they are right now. I feel like right now, despite the fact that, they're doing what you just said, which is Ghostcrawler's having to be not vague, but he's having to, have all these caveats about no problems that we're aware of, instead of just saying, yeah, it'll be here in 5.3. Even though that's all in effect, they talk to us more. The Twitter's given them a chance to do a lot more direct interaction with people. But I just feel like they're in the forums more. They're talking more. There's more stuff happening in chats. There's more stuff just kind of generally where they're more like people and less like this weird, pinnacle of untouchables on some high hill somewhere. I think it's all to their benefit. And I think that, like, for example, the Diablo mess would have been probably a less of a mess had they been as open, that particular team, that open and that regular with conversation with people like they're doing now with WoW and with other stuff. Anyway, I just think it's good. And a lot of people disagree with me. They think they're picking and choosing. They're cherry picking answers. They think that they're being falsely open. And I just don't agree. I think they're being very open right now. All right, moving on. Challenge mode was the biggest waste of resources. Unpopular, unappealing, not worth it. Scrap it, says a Twitter person. It's not like them to be so rude and curt,
no.
Is it?
No one's ever rude on Twitter.
Yeah.
The challenge mode answer
came back, says, disagree. It's more popular than expected, and I personally find it a ton of fun. It's cool to use all your abilities for a change. So that's interesting. Because my impression of challenge mode is about the same as my impression of the Brawler's Guild. I don't feel like there's a lot going on with it.
Well, have you done either thing?
I haven't done it, and I'm not saying that I realize it because I haven't done either thing. Obviously it's not in my game stuff, but it's not hard for me to look at other popular
things.
You must
have been given an invite, though.
Yeah.
It must have been sent, yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't do it?
I didn't do it. And it's not because it's the same reason I don't do a lot of things, but because I don't do, let's say I hate professions. So let's say I don't do professions. Well, that doesn't mean I believe professions aren't going well. I know that they still are without me. So I don't think I'm coming to this from too biased a position. I'm just saying, it isn't a constant topic of conversation. Nobody's sitting around going, dude, Brawler's Guild today. I can't wait. It's all blah, blah, blah. It's not a thing where people are freaking out about it. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that no one's using it. I just wonder if it's that big a deal.
Well, but I think first of all, challenge mode is great because if you're talking about pro gaming, you have another thing that they can do besides just Arena.
Right.
Because right now, if you go and you watch pro gaming in World of Warcraft, Arena is the only thing that they're doing.
Right.
Now you can have challenge mode. And so you can actually see people do PvE in a competitive setting. So I think just right there, right then and there, it's worth keeping for Blizzard.
Yeah.
You don't even need to have the regular general population of people who just, run their stuff, do their raids, do the normal thing, the normal progression of WoW, to do this at all for it to still be worth it for Blizzard because of the fact that suddenly there's something else that they can do that's measurable.
Right.
So right then and there, done. Okay. But also, there's a lot of people doing this because the rewards are pretty cool and it's a lot of fun to kind of see where you're at just skill-wise and play a small, you know, play with just four other people rather than having to go out and find 24 other people, but play something that's really challenging. And so to me, there you go. Like, that's another reason to keep it, because there are people who are going to love that. And why pull something out of the game that some people are going to love? I don't see any reason to do that.
I don't either, and his tone sucks, obviously. Challenge mode was the biggest waste of resources. I'll bet Blizzard has an exact idea of what their biggest waste of resources has been, and it probably is not this.
No, Randy, and also, are we not getting a lot of other stuff because challenge mode is there? I feel like we're getting so much stuff constantly. I can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
So if they're wasting resources on this, they have tons of resources.
And the fact is that people are playing it. This guy isn't, but other people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Equally, like Brawler's Guild, you can pick up a Brawler's Guild invite for like 1,000 gold on the black market. It never goes for more than that anywhere, I don't think. Like, you can do these things really easily, and it just, I think people should. I think it's a fun little distraction. But ultimately, I think Myst was really the king of bringing in whatever game you wanted to play. Right. And it gave us that, where previously we didn't really have that option. Before, it was like, this patch, we've introduced this game to play. Whereas Myst is more like, you know, this patch, we've introduced these games to play. Mm. And everyone's got their different game they can play within World of Warcraft, and I think it's great.
Yep. It's no skin off their nose, really. I mean, these challenge modes are done, so it's not like...
Yeah. I'm surprised that someone's asking for something to be taken out of the game. That he's asking for it to be taken out. He's just saying, like, oh, this was a waste of time.
Well,
like,
when you call that, it's just a veiled way of saying, I don't like it, therefore... Take it. Yeah. It's a narcissistic position to take. Yeah.
But in a game that never forces you to do anything you don't want to do,
right.
I mean, sure, there are things that, you know, if, oh, I want this mount, so that means I have to do this. Well, but you don't have to have the mount. So if you didn't mount, yeah. Well, there you go. But I mean, if you didn't, but you want the mount, so now you got to do this to get it. Like, but you are not forced. My life doesn't suffer because. Well, maybe it does a little bit, because I don't have. But, but no, but you know what I'm saying. Like, you're not really forced down any path in this game. You can pick and choose the one that works for you, and just do that and be happy. And if you don't like that other thing, don't do it.
Yeah, take that, everybody. All right, Dills, did you write in here?
Yeah, I wrote this.
Tell me what's up. What's on your mind here?
Because I was just kind of, you know, doing my normal reading of different sites and stuff,
yeah.
And a couple of ideas came across that I thought were kind of interesting. One was, I think, another tweet where somebody suggested that they put in a straight-up deathmatch BG.
Oh, yeah. This has been all the talk the last day or so, so I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah,
because I personally think it would be quite fun to just do a straight-up deathmatch battleground. I don't think it would be fun all the time. I think it might get a little old from time to time, but... I don't know. I mean, there's nothing like that where it's all about just killing, so you can't...
Well, it is interesting, isn't it? Because other games, let's say Call of Duty or geez, even go back to Quake and Unreal and, you know, shooters in general, these games have always started with deathmatch and team deathmatch, and then they add something on. Oh, now we got to capture the flag, and now we have assault the base, and now we have this other domination type
objective. Tug of war.
Tug of war, sure. You have all these different things, and... What usually happens if you look at the actual server numbers is mostly people are playing deathmatch and team deathmatch because at their core they are very simple to get into but very competitive.
Before you play
fun.
HQ because you want to pick up XP really quickly.
Well, that's true.
That's the only way I play COD now.
I know.
It's like,
all it's worth doing in there.
HQ enabled. HQ destroyed. That's all it is. I don't know. You know, it's just everything.
Find the dot or find the, what is it? The old one used to be real repetitive in what it said. Get the documents or something. The documents have been taken. Get the new documents. It's like, all right, great. Anyway.
Intelligence stolen.
That's it. Intelligence.
That's all it is. It'd just be like, I don't know. I think.
But
I
you know what I'm saying. Like, they have these different modes. Like, even TF2 does this. They keep introducing these new modes. Yeah. And they're fun for a bit for me, but I almost always go back to playing.
But then, like, a man versus machine sort of thing. I mean, TF2, they introduced, a horde mode wave style game.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, WoW doesn't have one of those in a sort of competitive group setting. It's got like quests and things like that that do that style of gameplay.
Sure.
But there isn't really a battleground type event where you can queue up as a team and, you know, repel multiple waves and then earn currency, which you then spend on, you know, up gearing up your defenses or your characters. And I think, you know, those sort of things, there's so much more life left in World of Warcraft and the competitive scene. It's just going to be beautiful.
Well, I'm convinced that Blizzard is actually in love with Horde mode anything, because every one of their games has some significant part of that. So StarCraft's got tons of that in it. The latest expansion has a bunch of those sort of hold these guys off until we do this thing. And yeah. It's in Diablo multiple times when you're trying to help those guys bring those catapults up in that one mission. It's a Horde mode. So more of that and WoW would be interesting. But I'm all about this idea of just straight up, I want to kill dudes.
Yeah. Just give us an area with lots of things to hide behind and things to run around and stuff like that. Maybe some different levels that can jump up and down things. Just some kind of simple something with a bunch of interesting objects to utilize in combat. And just let us go, you know, and maybe don't make it so once I die, I'm out. Just do something where it's like race to 100 kills, that type of thing.
But this, so I mean, this is how people, a lot of people already, okay, I'll just straight up and admit it. This is how I play Battlegrounds now when I play, as limited as it is.
You just go to fight. Right?
I just want
to
kill guys. I'm really not paying that much attention to.
Do you want to have a team thing or do you want to have everyone v everyone?
No, I want team v team. I want like team deathmatch, yeah. Horde versus Alliance.
Because we already have everyone versus everyone, right? I mean, you can go to, well, nobody uses it, but you can go to.
The arenas, yeah.
Yeah, Gurabashi, yeah.
Yeah. But equally, like the I think the big thing is that the time it takes to kill a character in World of Warcraft is slower than a lot of deathmatch based games.
Oh yeah,
like in Duty. If I see someone, the idea is exactly I've killed them. More likely, they've killed me in like 3 seconds. And it kind of feels like, you know, WoW, you've got a lot longer time to death ratio because of the nature of the game. It's not as twitchy a game, and I don't know how well team deathmatch things would work if that was the only point of just endlessly kind of going against the enemy, because it kind of feels like you need to do it more coordinated and more as a group. I don't know. I kind of feel
like, but you know, you've been in an Alterac Valley where both, like, we end up with like a 30-on-30 on a road battle. And they're just epic, like, where there's just tons of people on both sides, and it's just nonstop. You've got all the ranged and the healers in the back, and all the, you know, the warriors and the death knights and everybody out front. And it's one of the funnest things I've been a part of, is these just massive battles, just straight up killing each other, because we're just trying to basically gain territory on the other.
But then what would be cool then is if they introduced like collision in a battleground, and you had like a narrow sort of 300 style trench, like Battle of Thermopylae style, you know, so you could hold ground, and in order to get to it, you had to go through the other team. I think that those sort of things could be really fun and encourage a deathmatch style play.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it kind of fits for WoW. I don't know if.
I think the funny thing is this is what some of the World of Warcraft devs are saying, is like, well, we don't know if it fits, you know. But to me, I just think I've been a part of Warsong Gulch matches where no one's doing anything but killing each other. It's actually pretty damn fun. So I don't know if it doesn't fit. I think it does. We just haven't even really tried it.
You got to figure out the fit.
Yeah, you got to figure out what does fit. And the thing is, you know, those Warsong Gulches are just basically 20-minute timed death matches where nobody wins at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and like that, I've been in a ton of those because most people just don't care. And then there's like two guys like screaming and yelling and getting really mad at their team because they're not playing the actual battleground they're in. But nobody else cares. They're there just for the killing.
And you tie a specific reward of currency or something. Every kill adds to your pot. I mean, you get now with points.
Yeah, you already get the honor. So it's all you're doing is just instead of
tweak that up, you know,
some actual thing to do.
Right.
Grab the flag, take it here. What you're doing is just, you know, like Alterac Valley. Okay, there's a somewhat that's already in there because, you know, every time I kill somebody, you lose a resource, right?
Right.
But the fact is that you've also got these other things to do that lose a lot more resources. So you just take those other things out, and all it is they start with a score of 50. I start with a score of 50. Whoever kills 50 first, bang, you win. So it's just straight up trying to kill the other team before they kill.
If you're like top scorer, maybe you get some level of bonus, you know.
I think it'd be super fun.
Yeah, I'm into it. I think that would be cool. Terps is not wrong about fit, but I think Blizzard can figure it out.
Yeah. But I just think that I would like it. So
I know I would.
Yeah. Let's make it. Let's do it.
All right.
Again, if this was Neverwinter, we could do it for Blizz. And then we'd be like, yeah, that really didn't work. Always be like, oh my God, there's something there. Yeah, give it a go. And then immediately all Blizzard has to do is just pick the best ones, put them in the game, tweak them.
All right, so my other thing I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about. Now, Terpster, I know you didn't play Tor at all, but there was an interesting little article on, I think it was
I played the beginning bit of it, and then I was like, it sucks.
But I'm sure you didn't get to this. So Tor introduced this thing called Legacies at a certain point, which basically meant you could tie all your characters together. And you could say, oh, they're all part of the same family, or this guy is a rival, or whatever. However you chose fit, you know, to
all right.
It was like the Skywalker thing. Everyone's a Skywalker in your group. And you're,
So you'd get a last name, and then you'd say, this guy is the father, and this guy is the, or this girl is the mother, and this is what, you know, whatever.
Does it get revealed only after you kiss them? It's like, uh-oh, you kissed your mom. Like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's very Star Wars related. But the cool thing about it is it gives you extra things, like extra bonuses based on what you've done as a legacy. So once you've created your legacy, then there's like legacy achievements. So
kiss everyone in your family.
We've done this. Yeah, kiss everyone in your family. Find out later they're your sister. Get 5% bonus XP on, you know, your next character.
But,
you know, there's little things that they can add based on this. And would that work in WoW? I mean, that to me seemed like one of the coolest features of Tor. Would something like that work in WoW?
Yeah, I think so. I always used to pretend that my orc shaman was raised by gnomes because he was an engineer, and it was only later in life he discovered he wasn't a gnome when he was kind of finally noticed he was much taller and greener than everyone else.
Wow, that's more thought out than I would have expected.
Gnomes, maybe. He might not have been as green as them, but ultimately
like
he was still
feral of gnomes.
But basically elf.
But this is more of a, this is what you're talking about is more of a lore thing. Like, hey, I've got all this backstory, which I have a little bit of that for Gurp and Henry as well. But for me, it's more about how does this benefit. I mean, heirloom could roll into it. There are things in the game already, systems that already would kind of support it. But I would want them to do something beyond what Tor did with it.
Absolutely. I think that Tor just kind of scratched the surface. And I haven't played it in long enough to know if they've really improved the system. Because I know there's been a lot of patches since then.
I think I'd like to be more so like descended from heroes of past or something like that. And find out like Khadgar was my mage's uncle. And actually like once I discover my lineage, I actually now have a, you know, new passive abilities opened up to me. And maybe they could open up like a new profession, like ancestry.com. You track who it was. It's like, oh my God, my dwarf is descended from the bronze beards.
Brilliant.
You know, I have plus ginger beard.
Yeah.
You know, I now have 6 new ginger beards to choose from. I don't know. You know, they can make it cosmetic, they can make it functional, but kind of Path of Titans, but, you know, in lore.
Oh, Path of the Titans. Remember that was a thing.
Yeah, that
would have been... It's got to come back.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I think there's a different way to implement it here, but I think it would be cool. Because, you know, one thing that's tough that Star Wars just kind of glossed over was the fact that somehow the child of two separate, completely separate races is this other race, this third race, you know?
Yeah.
And if that was in World of Warcraft, it'd be like, so an orc and a troll got together and made,
a goblin, a little baby goblin.
You're like, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there's some, I think they should implement it maybe the way you're talking about, Terpster, where, like, let's say I roll a dwarf hunter, right? Then I can say, oh, I'm of the Bronzebeard family, and I have, like, maybe a couple of picks within the dwarf lineage.
Exactly.
And whatever I pick kind of helps me out in my role. And
archaeology has like, loads of, you know, characters in the history. There's so much lore about. And equally, it could actually introduce what we haven't really had for ages in WoW, which was a choice, an actual choice that makes a difference that you can't then go back and change.
Yeah.
You know, if you then elect, no, I've discovered that my ancestry means that I am Uther's third cousin, you know, and that means that I now have, you know, plus holy damage, or maybe if I'm not even a paladin, maybe I'm just, maybe it's open.
If you're like a warrior, and then suddenly you have a little
like
touch
a healing tree.
Exactly,
yeah. Something, I don't know. I just think those little things would be really fun. That could be really cool. I like that. I like that as an idea.
I like choices. I think we all do.
And it's tricky, though, because the issue is every time you introduce a choice, you introduce the issue of balance. Mm-hmm. And then when you balance stuff, you often remove the choice. It's like, you know, do you like red or blue? They both taste the same, but they look different. Yeah, you know, it's not really the same.
Yeah.
Kind of like, do you want strawberry or blueberry? And you're like, oh, wow, actually, I don't know. I really like strawberry. I quite fancy blueberry. I don't know. This is a really hard choice for me right now.
Blueberry. You know? Blueberry. Blueberry. I like the way you say blueberry.
Blueberry. Yeah.
All right. Town crier.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
It's the town crier. His voice is way lower than that now. Let's tell you who it's brought to you by. DoghouseSystems.com. DoghouseSystems.com. If you're watching the system, or if you're watching the stream, you're watching it stream from my brand new DHS over there. Love my new doghouse, running everything beautifully. I've yet to have anything where I can't run it on maximum everything, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It is my favorite gaming device in the house. You should get one, too. They're giving a free T-shirt, by the way, away with every order.
Instance ones?
I think so.
I got an Instance T-shirt with my doghouse.
Oh, fantastic.
I was like, ah, sweet, I'm on this.
Yeah, you are totally on that. Good. Yeah, it's so, every machine ships with one. I want to say it's that, but I'll verify that. But yeah, you can find it on the site as well. It's doghouse systems.
It'll be a T-shirt of sorts.
Yeah.
It might just be a generic black one.
Could be. Racist.
Instance on it.
You can still get double the memory. Don't get double the memory. It's Henry at checkout. Henry for double the memory, double the RAM
not
on here.
Not Henry.
Not Henry.
It's Henry.
Henry.
And not memory. Memory.
Zaharim. Zaharim. Zagarim.
Zareem.
Zareem. That's it. You got it. DoghouseSystems.com for more. Do check it out. All right. We got your calls and your emails. Let's start with calls. And we got a bunch. We're going to rip through them pretty quick here. Remember, you can call us at 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. And leave us a voicemail. We'll gladly play it on the show. Keep them short. We like them that way. You can also email us at theinstance@gmail.com. Your attachments in MP3 are welcome as well. Here are your calls. Let's start with a 20-man cross-content idea.
Hi, Scott Surf Circuit Hills. This is Dan from Thrall Alliance. Anyway, I want to propose an idea for future content, but just to see what you guys thought of it. I was thinking like 20-man raids, but it'd be like 2 10-man teams from each faction, you know? And have them, you know, have like a main objective, but different sub-objectives within that. Like, the Alliance would have to fight a boss while the Horde's deep side defends them from incoming trash mobs and such. Let me know what you think. Peace out.
All right, so speaking of ideas for new content, 10-man. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but what wasn't the original idea before it actually got implemented and launched, but the original ship battle idea in Ice Crown, didn't it? I swear when they were at least talking conceptually about it, they were saying you're going to have 10 to 25 of the opposing faction on the other boat fighting you in real time. And that.
Yeah, and then they would start. They would start battling each other.
And instead of NPCs, instead of AI.
Yeah, but you know, you can't chuck that into the middle of a PvE instance suddenly.
Well, you can, but you can't. You're right.
Unless you're fighting like ghosts of other teams that have already done it.
Sure.
They have to be in at the exact same time. Like, suddenly you'd get to a boss and you'd have to queue or something. You know, it's just wouldn't.
I can see why they didn't do it. And I agree with you. Yeah.
I designed an instance back in the day, and it's a beautiful instance. I made a book of it. It was great. I sent it to Blizzard. They said, no, I'm not interested. Did you really do this, by the way?
You sent this to them?
I did it. I got it bound in a leather-bound book. They loved it, actually. That's awesome. It's great. Jeez. But then they said, you're British, so no. basically, in it, I had, I figured that you could have a Horde versus Alliance or Alliance versus Alliance, you know, just two factions basically racing towards the middle of a dungeon. And so you would fight different encounters and rooms and whatever, and you'd go up against the same things and meet in the middle. And whoever got there first would fight the boss, and whoever got there second would then take on, in this thing, it was like Goblin Shredder vehicles. And the idea was that you could kind of troll the other team and try and beat them, and then obviously if you cause them to wipe, you get a chance to run in and take on the boss, but then equally by the time they've res, they're then doing the same thing as you, and it kind of tried to introduce the two different things together, and I think it could have worked.
That sounds all right.
I like it a lot. I think that would be cool if you were going side by side, so you could look to your right,
you could
and see them
I'm trying to find where it was. If you went to, I'll find you a link, actually. I'll send you guys a link to it.
Oh, I'd love to see this. Yeah.
It was on Terps Division. I'll give it. We'll put it in the show notes. I mean, you can see the PDF. I'll link you guys. When was this? This is in 2009. Oh, my God. This is scary.
It's not that long ago.
But, yeah, basically, it was a long enough. And the idea was basically, in fact, this was fighting Deathwing before Deathwing was back. I did Deathwing before he was cool.
Right. Only of course you did.
He was made of metal. He was a metallic
hipster bastard.
He was making one. Anyway, so the idea would be, I think anyway, I love the idea of doing something where, and then along the way I had like, you know, if you won, your team would get a buff and the other team would get a debuff as well.
Right.
And sort of trading and having a bit of a tug of war race along the way. I think there could be kind of lots of fun things around introducing competitive PvE together. And I think those sort of things I would love to see more of.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of competing rather than helping. Like, I think the caller's idea was more so, you know, the Alliance people are fighting the boss while the Horde people are keeping the ads away or something. I like the idea of competing. I don't know if we're at a place right now in the story where helping each other makes any sense at all. So,
right.
You know, I think let's fight each other. Let's just keep fighting each other. I don't want to be friends with the Alliance ever.
I don't either. Actually, this is somebody, this isn't really a question, but it's a indicator of what this is going to do for certain people about the new boost to XP in Pandaria.
Hey, Scott, Dills, and Terpster. I was listening to you discussing the leveling buff for 85 to 90, the reduction in XP required coming up in patch 5.3. I've got 5 level 90s, a level 86, and 2 level 85s. I like leveling alts for a few reasons. My personal schedule doesn't let me do any raiding other than LFR, so I can't really commit to a raid team. I also enjoy leveling professions and have a character with every profession max level with the exception of blacksmithing. Given my altaholism and desire to get a max level blacksmith, I'm looking forward to the XP buff in 5.3 so I can start a death knight, speed level them to 90, and max level blacksmithing. This is really going to save me a lot of time, and I think it's going to be a really good change.
So maybe Blizzard has data that suggests there are a bunch of dudes like him that just...
I think there are.
You know,
yeah.
Just want to work on their alt, you know?
Well, towards the end of Kata, I knew several people who had 10 85s.
Yeah.
Several people. Every single character on their roster on that server was an 85. And there's a lot of people who play this way. And I think it's a significant enough number that Blizzard goes, we need to cater to this number.
Yep.
Because these are guys who are never going to leave.
Yep.
They put that much time in, they're never going to leave. Reward that with a little help.
Yeah, make them happy. Let's move on to, what about level 100?
Hi, Scott, Dills, and Terpster. I'm a level 90 Night Elf Priest, Narakatul, on the Kil'jaeden Realm. Longtime listener to the podcast, which my friends continuously make fun of me about. When we play together and I ignore them, they keep saying, well, I'm going to make a podcast and then you'll listen to me. Anyway, I wanted your feedback regarding the following idea. What if the next WoW expansion allowed us to level up to 100, going back to the 10-level expansions we used to enjoy?
Well, I think we've talked on the show about why they do 5 now, and I think they're not... I don't see any reason why they go back to 10 unless there's some really compelling... reason. I mean, well, I don't know. I'm two minds of this because I was kind of felt like when they went to 5 with Cataclysm, they could have done 10 because they still padded it out to be however long it takes to level.
It's the same time. It's just a different number.
Yeah, no, it easily could have been 10. It's really not a number that ultimately matters.
I think it does, though. I think the thing is because you unlock abilities as you level.
Exactly.
I always hate it when I ding and don't get something new.
Don't get
it's just like, hey, 86. Well done. You know, it's just like that doesn't. That's
you just
not
got
a good
two
level.
Stamina and one agility. And
your well done sounded more like a question than a statement. Even
Well done. It's just like
maybe.
You know, and that's why, you know, if you had like 10 levels and, you know, 1 to 10 was the same as 1 to 90, you kind of feel like each level would be a big deal. And there is a sweet spot because you want to have enough levels that you get those kicks, but without having too many that you end up with like a billion abilities that you never use. So I don't know. It's tricky as well because we used to unlock ranks as well when we leveled.
And then you had to go to the trainer and you'd see I got three or four new things that I've
I got upranked, ranks, you know. 7 heroic strike I can go unlock, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's all automated now. It doesn't you don't get the same, you know, feel every
time. But it still
is
there. I mean, you get the little golden shower, sorry.
Whoa.
And then you get a bunch of scrolling text telling you all the cool things that you got that you just got.
Yeah.
And a bunch of that is, you know, a higher level of whatever, right? So
right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
you guys don't see it as a little golden shower?
No.
All right.
I haven't really.
What is
it then? I don't know.
You know the bigger golden shower is Diablo's really got that going on. Holy crap, yeah. It knocks people back. If you're fighting dudes. It does. It throws them all across the room.
If you've been eating asparagus, that really knocked me back.
Gross. Yeah. All right. Moving on to... I just thought this was funny, so I'm going to play it. Here you go.
Scotty J, how's it hanging? Turpin T, steady swinging. Willie Dills, you're named after a pickle.
There you go, dude. His intro was the best. I don't remember what the rest of the call was, but... That was pretty
good. Can't be better than that. It had to be all downhill from there. So.
To the point where we're like, we're just going to play that.
Yep, that's it. So thanks for that, man. Appreciate it. Real quick, a taste of... So Andrew Allen, friend of the program, has been working with Brian Ibbett on producing a new album. They did that Smooth Federation Star Trek jazz tribute last year. Yeah, so this year it's video games, and he's got like a real band, and they're doing real recordings in Nashville, Tennessee. He's got... The bassist for Robert Plant's band currently, Robert Plant being from, my brain just went dead, from Led Zeppelin back in the day. Anyway, here is a taste of the Lament of the Highborn that he was working on, a version of that for the album. So there is some WoW music in there, and just a little taste of it. Check it out. Like in this like lounge lizard kind of jazz business, and it's great. His new his Mario track is awesome. There's all kinds of stuff coming out with that, and I'll make sure to share that with you guys when it comes out. So there you go, a little WoW love from Andrew Allen. All right, quick emails.
Nice.
Got one here. It says, "Hey Scott, are you really out of Nerdtacular tickets?" Sean, one of his first name's Eric. No, I wanted to give an update. For people who are still interested in Nerdtacular, we were out of tickets, but we have had all kinds of late game demand. Suddenly everybody's like, oh, I waited too long. I really want to go. I've come last 4 years.
Are you like Blizzard? Have you just like realized like with the Sparkle Pone, you're like, oh, actually, we can just make more.
Yeah, kind of. Except yeah. I do have limited space, but we've decided to crack open some additional space in the main hall and some other things. So we've made room for a bunch of new tickets. They'll go on sale or be available through the same links that are up there now on Monday morning. So I wanted to give the Instance crowd a heads up. If you are still planning on coming and were worried that tickets were going to be gone, there will be more. I can't tell you how many or how long that will last because I actually don't know. But I wanted to make sure people were aware of it. Nerdtacular.com. Go get a ticket. It's cheap. It's like $45 for 2 full days. You get to see us. All three of us, and do all kinds of cool stuff with all kinds
of
people.
Well, I charge $10 every time you see me, though, so it's going to get pricey.
You get that signing thing you do. And
yeah, it's kind of annoying. Just exchange goods and or services.
Right. All right.
HJ.
By the way, though, with the AIE Weight Loss Challenge, we had a lot more room than we did last year, probably.
3,000 pounds have been lost.
It's crazy. Yeah.
How many?
It's very, very amazing.
How many average people is that? That's got to be like...
That opened up 10 more tickets right there.
That's what we need to do.
Yeah, no, more than 10. That would be 10 300-pound people. Sorry, that opened up 15?
Yeah.
20?
Yeah. Well, depends on what you know about average. If we're talking about average people that live in the UK, it's like 3 people. Just kidding.
What?
Just
that
kidding.
Is potentially offensive.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Penitentiarily, yeah. All right, moving on. Let's get
good
to...
Good thing he said in English and never mind.
That's right.
The drop. Of the week.
Drop of the week this week. Check it out. Fifth Element Avengers. This is too good to miss. It's a YouTube video. It showed up on all of the blogs. They all carried it. It's awesome. Terpster, what is this Terpster Dungeon thing? What is this? Oh, is this your thing?
That's my thing.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
It's amazing. Terpster clearly put a lot of time and effort into
this. Oh, I've seen this.
2009 when I had time and effort.
Yeah.
No, I've seen this. You've showed this to me once. It's really good.
It is, isn't it? We should make it. If, again, if it was never winter, we could.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't Blizzard just hire you outright for this? Look at this thing.
Nah, that's the problem. The thing is they then asked me my views on like ethnic minorities and
women's
like
issues,
same-sex marriage, women, all of that. And apparently, I just wasn't on message.
Right.
So
gun control.
It went wrong. Yeah.
Totally understand. Wow, look at all your info on the back here.
Yeah, that's cool. I've moved since then, so that.
They also realized the sexual harassment lawsuits alone.
I mean, I'm quite the litigious guy. Anyone who would make any move on me, I'd be like, "That's harassment."
That's where I was going.
Can
with
I read the about me part? Can I just read that?
Yes.
Okay. A creative, passionate game designer with a love for Blizzard products and takes an open-minded approach toward project goals.
Oh, look at that.
Very professional, very professional.
That is. This was back when I was trying to get a job everywhere.
I know. This is really impressive.
Under skills, highly skilled.
Highly skilled, able
to work with a multitude of projects and genres, from local companies such as landscape designers and computer technicians to professional wrestlers such as Rob Van Dam and Rey Mysterio.
That's what I've done websites for. This is like inside the actor's studio right now. Uh-huh, only it's not an actor's studio. It's my studio.
I
want
to see your Rob Van Dam website.
I do too. Yeah? That's awesome.
Yeah. In fact, Wayback When would have it.
Okay. The Wayback Machine probably has it.
Yeah. How'd you do that? That's it. Wayback Machine. That's what it's called.
All right. While you're looking that up, I'm going to tell you about Fifth Element Avengers. This is really too good to miss. It's awesome. It's a machinima. I love a good machinima. This is just a taste of it auditorially. Check it out. Here you go. Storm winds of flame, and there's a giant robot in the city. I'll just describe this as it goes. Oh, he's gonna burn. He just blew up a building. Oh, it's awesome. It's basically the Avengers cartoon, but done in WoW machinima, and it's awesome. So
loves
that
it.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, you need to see it. It's real, real good. So we'll put that in the show notes. Paul, you hear that? Paul, intern Paul? Can you hear me from the closet? You need to put that on the site. All right.
Is he in the what?
No, he's not really. I don't know. He lives back east. He'll be at Nerdtacular, though. He's going to run around.
I say, he's got a kid.
He'll be at BlizzCon, too. And those asking if we're going to do a live BlizzCon taping, we probably will. We don't know where yet or what. Probably in the AIE room, but we won't.
Or how, but we will.
We will. So we'll see you guys then. All right. Quick contest. Taverns of Azeroth, the CD. Music collection, David Arkenstone, and the music of Blizzard, doing all those tavern songs around Azeroth. It's a pretty cool, kind of hard to get physical copy of the CD. You can get it digitally in different places, but these are a little bit rare. And I have one, and I don't have anybody cool at Blizzard signing it, but I signed one. It was supposed to be for another giveaway, and I totally forgot about it. So it's signed by me for whatever that's worth. And we'll ship with some stickers and some other secret swag, a little loot there that you won't know until you crack it open. I'm going to do that for a contest this week. And all you got to do is this. Leave a comment in the show notes for this episode. All right. That's on the site. You just leave a comment. Make sure the email address you use for your little temporary login is an actual one so I can contact you and award your winner. Your what? Award you the winning thing if you're the winner. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
So please go do that. That's at theinstance.net. It's the Taverns of Azeroth CD, 100% free with some extra stuff. All you got to do is leave a comment there and we'll ship it anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the States. It can be anywhere in the world. We'll ship it out to you. So start the contest now. And then next week we'll award it on the show. So watch for that. All right.
Now.
Quick iTunes shout outs. I already have the US one up because I am forward thinking that way. So here it is.
I don't have anything.
Bry Guys 171 says best podcast ever. Mistress of Pez says Terpster's accent. Terpster said cast Duratan. Yeah.
Cast Duratan?
Cast Duration.
Duratan. Wait a minute.
I have nothing against any of the creeds or casts in Duratar.
Of course not.
So I'd like Scott to apologize for that.
She says, it sounds like you said castration. I was confused for a moment. Anyway.
Castration. Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah.
There you go. Praise comes to us from Wakes111. Best podcast ever, says Jamie Hardison. And then finally, I'll give one to Pew's shrink. He says, I currently have WoW. He says, I have five separate WoW subscriptions, and this is by far the best podcast out there. I must have. And that was very nice of him to say. Thank you all for your five-star reviews. And mucho, mucho appreciated. Pool Shark.
Yeah, that's his name. It's not Pule Shrick. It's Pool Shark.
Oh. Do you know this person?
No.
Oh. I mean, I assume now that you play pool, you know everyone who plays pool. Isn't that how it works?
That's how it works, yeah.
All right.
By the way, I got actually kind of a lot of interest for the pool tournament at Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
So
really,
quite fun.
That's going to be awesome. We got the space for it. Let's do it. Okay. Man, I'm excited for that. July is going to be amazing. I'm so excited to see you guys. I can't wait to see everybody. Mainly, I can't wait to see the fans. You guys are always great. We'll be there. We'll be parts of panels and all sorts of stuff. Two full days, man. Board gaming, hanging out, great food, restaurants everywhere, bars for the drinking inclined.
Hello.
I know, right there, right? There's a zip line for the idiots among us who really like crazy stuff.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, zip line. There's
what? A zip line?
There's a tram that goes up to the highest peak in the valley there. There's just all kinds. It's an awesome place. You guys are going to
die. I
want a
zip line.
Yeah, zip lines, please. Can we zip line while on July 4th? Can we zip line while fireworks are going on around and near me?
I don't know. I could maybe aim a bottle rocket at you or something.
Okay, I'll take that. Sure.
Actually,
could I hold a sparkler while on a zip line?
On the zip line?
I'm like freedomizing the air around me.
Yes, the answer is yes. If we can arrange that and they allow it up there. I don't know what our fire deal is up there. I got to find out.
It's in the mountains.
Well, it depends on the day. It depends on the year. If it's a dry year, they sometimes don't let you.
Like, I have diplomatic immunity. I can do whatever I want.
And the funny thing is, on the 4th and the 24th, in this state of mind, we have two major... We have the national holiday, then we have the state... When the state became a state holiday on the 24th, and that's just as big and just as many fireworks, yet we have some of the most strictest, like, what kind of fireworks you can buy laws in the country. It's ridiculous.
What kind of fireworks can you buy?
It depends on the year, but usually you can't. So bottle rockets, firecrackers, and any of the industrial stuff you see at the parks.
See, that seems really silly to me because it just promotes people to make their own.
No, I know.
It's dangerous.
Well, no, here's what they do instead. They drive to Wendover, Wyoming, or these other kind of outliers like Nevada, and they just buy them all up there and then use them illegally here. But there's huge fines, and there have been huge fires because of them. You know, like
there was a massive fire when I was over last.
Yeah, that fire. Said that was weird. That fire came from some redneck was out shooting tires in a dump.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. And it caught on fire. But you know, same idea.
Was he shooting the tires with a flamethrower? Was that the
yeah? That was the problem. He was like, you know, what's good for tires? Flamethrower.
Perfect idea. Make that.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
That's right. Ooh, let's go watch another. Let's watch that. That sounds good to me right now. Aliens. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good. Anyway, moving on. Let's get out of here. Let's be done. Oh, I want to thank GameTimeZone.com for helping us with the show today. Cool. Instance for 5%
off. I need to thank John Moore as well. I haven't thanked John Moore. John Moore gave me a shout out on Facebook way back in April about Huey Lewis in the News playing in October in London. And I have tickets.
Whoa.
So thank you very much, John Moore, for fulfilling part of my bucket list. I'm going to see Huey Lewis and the News live.
Oh, my gosh. So your life is about to change in ways.
It's literally the pinnacle. I feel like it's all downhill from here, but I'm going to get myself a toboggan or a bobsled or something cool and just go with it.
They're Huey Lewis and the Olds now, though,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Well, that's the thing. And someone said to me, like, you know, oh, that would have been amazing about 20 years ago when his voice was still good. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? I don't know if you're right or not, but I would tell you because, yeah. I don't know. I'm still looking forward to it.
No, I would totally go see them any day.
I've met John.
Come over.
I've met John Moore, you know.
All right. Let's do it.
John
let's
Moore. I know who John Moore is.
He's
a super nice guy. Yeah, he was at Nerdtacular.
I met John Moore as well, actually. Yeah. That's why we're Facebook friends.
Yeah, he is in the tadpool. He's in that crazy TMS crowd that just blows everyone's mind constantly. Anyway, so there you go. Thank you, Sir John Moore, we're going to call him. How about that?
Sir John Moore.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Hey, if you want to support Matthew Oxley, he does our music for the show, check him out at MatthewOxley.com. I want to thank Paul Swickard, our intern. I want to thank our own website for existing, where you can find forums, show notes, archives, and more at theinstance.net. You can find us on Twitter at Instance Show. Me at Scott
Johnson.
I'd
like to thank Twitter.
Yeah. Shut up. You don't get any more Twitter help. You're fine.
Don't follow me. Don't follow
Terpster. He seriously doesn't need any help. He's got throngs of like Minecraft people who won't leave him alone. That's all fine. Let those lie where they lie. Willie Dills, though, you want to follow him. That's an important dude to follow.
Yeah, I talk a lot about. No, actually, I don't tweet it. I don't tweet very much.
You do okay. You do okay. The _T is Terpsters, if you really got to follow him. Also on Facebook / The Instance, and you can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Horde side.
That's annoying after a while.
Hi, guys. This is Araz from Dungeon Server US, Horde side. And I just wanted to comment on what you were saying about scenarios possibly replacing dungeons as new content in endgame from a healing perspective. As it is right now, dungeons are my only outlet personally as a healer to actually heal in a casual setting. And if we were to lose that, then let's face it, you don't need a healer in scenarios. And so in both scenarios and questing, I'm forced to DPS. If we were to lose dungeons, then I would lose that ability to heal in a casual setting. However, if Blizzard were to tweak the scenarios a bit and make healers more viable in them, for example, make the mobs hit a bit harder, or, you know, only put those green healing circles on the ground when you don't have a healer in the group, that sort of thing, then I think as a healer, I would be much more on board with that shift. So I'd love to hear what you think. Thanks.
Hey, guys, real quick. You were kind of joking about it, but standing in the fire, you're talking about the card for the WoW instance game. Make a funny card about that. Well, I have an add-on that will help you with not standing in the fire. It's called GTFO, for Get the Freak Out. It's a really lightweight add-on, and just install that, and it'll just play an annoying freaking sound every time you're standing in something you shouldn't be. It's really awesome. Recommended it to our guild, and everyone's running it now, and everyone loves it. So it's and it's extremely lightweight. So grab that. And that will solve all your standing in the poo woes. Okay, late.
Activision proposes Pandaria patch payment plan. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. There are a few certainties in life, but two of them are that BlizzCon will sell out moments after tickets go on sale, and that Activision would eventually try to monetize its purchase of Blizzard in new ways. The latest evidence of the second certainty came today, when ODN obtained a secret memo from Activision's board detailing a new method of releasing patches for World of Warcraft. Starting with patch 5.3, Blizzard will auction off 10,000 early access slots, and lucky winners will get a 2 weeks head start on the new content before it is opened up to the rest of the world. They will also get a feat of strength achievement called I Got the Worm. To further increase profits, the memo details a marketing deal with Logitech, who will release a new peripheral designed specifically for the proposed auction mechanic. Called the F5, it consists of one large hypersensitive button. Logitech also plans on selling the F5 Deluxe, with extra padding and breakaway USB cord, suitable for throwing against the wall when the user isn't quite fast enough on the click. ODN reached out to Activision for comment, but so far all we've received is a tweet from a PR rep denying the accuracy of the memo. We were not encouraged, however, when we noticed the avatar the rep was using for his Twitter account. Trade Prince Gallywix. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azerothian Heroes.
Real Azerothian Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. When Did This Get Here?
Mr. When Did This Get Here?
Content patches are marvelous. They bring new, exciting things to the game at that point when it needs a refresh.
Thunder!
But if you've been away for a few weeks, maybe playing StarCraft 2, or working on your podcast, or just life, you know, things can be a little overwhelming when you come back.
Should have made that lift at Albuquerque!
And now there's so much to see and so much to explore. Thank goodness WoW gives us a quest to get us started, or we just wander around into bosses.
Pimp
my undesta. So crack open an ice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir. You slightly behind, gotta make up for time following the quest line. Player, I'm right there with ya. Ooh, mister, when did this get here? Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek. Hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com. Subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes. And check out my new show, I Remembered It Better, at IRIBetter.com.
Oh, Luger the Mage here.
When we last left our intrepid host, she was talking about tiny carp and how to get them. Will she leave us hanging? How do you get these fish? Why does only this episode have an announcer?
Well, I was just about to get to that. Jeez. The tiny red carp can be caught in the spinefish schools and in the fish of the day pools in Binan Village Coast. The tiny green carp can be caught in the emperor salmon, jade longfish, and kerosene paddlefish schools. And you can look for these guys in the fish of the day pools in the Enchanted Woods of the Lost, Krasari Falls, and the Storm Stout Brewery. The tiny white carp can be fished up in the giant mantis shrimp, reef octopus, and tiger gourami regular pools, as well as the fish of the day pools in Golok Shallows, Master Snowdrift's Pagoda, and Sri Lai Village. All of these locations are, of course, not mentioning the open waters that you have a chance of catching them in. But the stats are in, and it seems that you have a better chance of catching these little guys in the pools themselves. Now, you might be thinking, why catch all four? I mean, they just look different, right? Not so. Even though we said the tiny blue carp does have the best stats of all the carpy brothers, each carp actually knows different attacks from each other. And while some of them are the same, combinations that you can create with the fish are completely different. If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Episode 7 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohemulone. Keeping with the old world theme, and leading up to another interesting brew in a future episode, I want to talk a little about the Flagon of Mead. In Azeroth, this is one of the most common alcoholic beverages players can buy, and it's available at many vendors covering every iteration of the game so far. But what is mead? Mead is also known as honey wine, and is one of the oldest fermented beverages known to man. Mead is a very broad category, and underneath its umbrella, we can find dry, semi-sweet, or sweet mead, which is usually recognized easily by its aroma. The drier the mead, the less of a honey aroma will be present. In addition to the dryness or sweetness, mead can also vary in terms of alcohol by volume. There are three main categories here: hydromel, which is a fairly low alcohol mead, standard, which is moderate, and sack mead being the highest in alcohol. Lastly, mead can be still, meaning not carbonated, or can carry a range of carbonation up to levels similar to champagne. In the World of Warcraft, one of the most compelling quests involving any alcoholic beverages centers around mead. First Mate Fitzsimmons, who is known to many in Menethil Harbor as the sole survivor of the Third Fleet of Kul Tiras, is portrayed as a drunk, struggling with the memory of the doomed fleet. In the quest called the Third Fleet, players are asked to bring his mead to him, which he admittedly tried so hard to distance himself from. This concludes Episode 7 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. Follow me on Twitter at FermentAzeroth or visit the site fermentingazeroth.com. All
right! Epic Diapers.
Hey all, it's Six, and to be honest, I haven't played much WoW for weeks now, but not by choice. Real life has just exploded with my wife being out of town, coaching softball, business trips, and diagnosing myself with cirrhosis of the liver because of the stress drinking over the last month. Now, often, I like to distill little nuggets of info to make your gameplay more efficient with your limited time, and patch 5.3 has a blessing coming for us who are alcoholics. The experience required for levels 85 to 90 is being reduced by a whopping 33%. I've complained about this before, but previous expansions, I've been able to get 5 or more tunes up to level cap. I haven't been able to this expansion. I think the grind from 85 to 90 has been too long, not to mention the endgame gearing grind is longer as well. This makes the game, in my opinion, very alt-unfriendly, which is why I only have 190 and no tunes higher than level 85. Well, next patch is a time to strike with your army of alts. I'm pretty much giddy knowing all of the time I've saved by not leveling any alts to 90 so far. So, hold off on leveling your alts through Pandaria. Perhaps get a few other alts up to 85 to prep for mad leveling when the patch drops. You can find me at Epic Diapers and EpicDiapers.com.
I'm not running around.
I said my 3-year-old son, not my 7-year-old daughter who is here with me. Why am I talking in a stuck-up pseudo-British accent? I really don't know. I think I've been going insane after taking care of my kids for so long. And now she's sitting me on the back.
So you can get your voice back.
Welcome students to Monk Meditation, a time to learn and reflect on aspects of the monk class. This week's lesson, Invoke Zuan, the White Tiger. The clear choice for level 90 talent for Windwalkers is Zuan, the White Tiger. By activating this ability, Zuan will aid the monk in attack his or her target. He will also do AoE damage to enemies within 10 yards. Now, Zen's damage is based off the monk's damage. While this ability does not snapshot your stats, it is best to use when you're going to have a long period of high damage output, such as heroism or bloodlust, or when you have significant trinket procs. Also, be sure to use 10 stacks of Tiger Eye Brew as you summon him. Thank you for listening to Monk Meditation. Catch me in-game as Chai T, C-H-A-I-T-H-I, on Aerial Peak or Argent Dawn, or on Twitter at WowMonk.
Hey Scott, Terpster and Dills, otherwise known as STD. This is Six, and well, I just got to level 90, and I'm just sitting here by Rockfire Chasm in Orgrimmar. I have no idea what to do now. So, I mean, I know there's LFR and dungeons and scenarios and arena battles and pet battles and the auction house and normal raiding, and there's resources like the forums and Wowhead and Your Show, Icy Veins, WowWiki, Elitist Jerks, and many other sites, but quite frankly, I'm too lazy to read, so I'm asking you guys. This is totally not a trolley call, and no offense to the guy who called in last week from Chuck E. Cheese, cause he totally sounds like a nice and motivated player, but, you know, any advice would be appreciated. Okay, thanks. Good job with the show. Okay, bye.
Welcome back to another Mega Minute with MegaCode, a mini-cast on all things Holy Paladin. This week, I step away from my usual raid synopsis to go over one of our healing spells, Holy Shock, and two passive abilities Holy Paladins have called Daybreak and Infusion of Light, which go hand-in-hand with Holy Shock. Holy Shock is our instant cast medium heal, which also grants us a charge of holy power with every heal. So it's very important for us to use it once it's off its 6-second cooldown, so that we can build up to 3 holy power and use it for our free mana heals. Holy Shock also has an additional 25% chance to critical strike so as to proc our Infusion of Light ability. As a 5.0, it's recommended that when using our AoE heal Holy Radiance, we follow it up with a Holy Shock in order to take advantage of Daybreak Holy Shock splash heals. Daybreak is a passive ability for Holy Spec only that when after casting Holy Radiance, your next Holy Shock will also heal other allies within 10 yards of the target for an amount equal to the original healing done divided evenly among all targets. If used in conjunction with Light of Dawn, puts out some nice raid heals. Also, keep in mind that our two-piece tier 15 buffs Daybreak by 50%. Now, in the PTR, they changed Daybreak from 100% of the original heal to 75% of original heal. However, it can stack twice, which actually gives it a 50% buff. Nothing set in stone, but something to keep in the back burners until 5.3 drops. Now, when our Holy Shocks crit, it procs another Holy Paladin ability, Infusion of Light. Basically gives our next Holy Light, Divine Light, or Holy Radiance heal a 1 second cast time. Now, if the tank is taking some serious damage, I'll use this on a Divine Light, and if the raid is taking some damage, I'll throw out a quick Holy Radiance. Generally, I try not to waste this on Holy Light heal. So I hope this little review on some important abilities helps out. If you're on Twitter, come follow me at FFPMMark with a C, or check out my blog page at healingspec.com.
Welcome back to PvP 101, getting you started with PvP and World of Warcraft. I'm your host, I'm Chris the Prof. Today, we're going to finally begin looking at the various battlegrounds, starting with Orsong Gulch. Orsong Gulch is a 10-on-10 capture the flag map. Each faction has a base on opposite sides of the map, housing a single flag. Your job is to assault that base, grab their flag, and bring it back to your base before the opposing faction can do the same. Do this 3 times and you win. However, you cannot turn in the flag if your flag is missing, so this battleground requires a lot of both offensive and defensive tactics. If your team can balance both of these, or possibly coordinate together for a massive assault, you'll be sure on your way to victory. Thank you guys for listening to this segment. For any questions or tips of your own that you'd like to share, feel free to email me at chris@ocdcast.com. Follow me on Twitter, @ChrisTheProf, and check out Relative Dimensions, my podcast about multiplayer gaming, at OCDcast.com. Until next time, class is dismissed.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade. I hear people say all the time that a warlock can't be trusted. And while it's true we do have a penchant towards a darkened soul, it's not the way that you think. You see, all three of our specializations have their own Dark Soul spell, which is an ability that lasts 20 seconds and is on a 2-minute cooldown that enhances the power for all three styles of play. Affliction has misery, which increases our haste. Demonology has knowledge, which increases our mastery. And destruction has instability, which increases our critical strike chance. And as you can see, all three spells are great for build-up and burn phases. But what about consistent, steady, or sustained damage? Well, locks also have the major glyph choice in choosing the glyph of Dark Soul, which gifts 10% of the particular Dark Soul spell as a passive ability. But it comes at a price because it also reduces the active ability of the Dark Soul spell by 10% as well. Now, I would let you in on the little secret of when and where a warlock might use the glyph of Dark Soul. However, if you can't trust us, then why should I trust you? And who knows, maybe someday you'll be fortunate enough to gain the trust of a warlock who might explain this tip to you, rather than use it against you.
Welcome to Azeroth's Fantastic Race, and I am your host, VroBaby. This week, the remaining teams must take on the roadblock that we are calling Operation Recombobulation. The teams must make their way to Karados, where one member from each team must find 8 cogs and 8 gears and return them to Razzle's Prize Rocket. Morgrom took on this challenge and was able to stealth around and grab all the parts before almost anyone else noticed he was gone. Stumpenstein did notice, however, and quickly followed suit. Myalissa turned on her charm and quickly scooped up all of her gears, and she was given the cogs by none other than Kephas. This caused Kephas to restart his search for cogs. Miss Mulgore kept confusing the gears for cogs and kept returning with the wrong amounts, and Terpster cruised by the others as he was determined to make up for mistakes of the past few weeks. Once they turned in their quest, each team was instructed to book a flight to Silvermoon City. Gurp and Morgrom checked in first, followed by Stumpenstein and Tanadellan. Demis, Revan, and Myalissa finished third with Dills and Terpster right behind them. Revan, Geek, and Kephas finished fifth with Miss Mulgore and Aludra arriving last. Johnny Feisty and Buxley enjoyed the week off as they toured the Isle of Quel'Danas. Now be sure to check out the website at fantasticrace.blogspot.com and follow me on Twitter at VroBaby, VROBABY. And don't forget to vote for your favorite team each week. A vote now may save your team from elimination. Have a great week.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft. This week, cutting diamonds. For jewel crafters, diamonds are among the best gems they can make. And just like in real life, they are also the most difficult to craft. That's because diamonds are among the hardest gems out there. Diamonds are, in basic terms, made of carbon that has been heavily crushed and undergoes intense heat over thousands or even millions of years. So it is very hard to cut or shape a diamond out of just anything, besides other diamonds. The tools of a diamond cutter often is a circular saw that has a steel core which has a diamond and metal dust combined for its teeth. While this makes cutting possible, creating a good cut still takes a lot of skill. Diamond cutters just can't cut or shape the stone any way they like. Diamonds are just too hard for that. What they have to figure out is how the diamond will let them cut. That's because, like wood, diamonds have an atomic grain that cutters can shape along. So in large part, the original shape of the diamond will determine the final product. Thanks for listening. Always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize. Please send any comments or suggestions to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgore, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, How can I make the most of my time with my orphan companion during Children's Week? When you take on the responsibility of mentoring a young orphan during Children's Week, it is important to remember that your conduct may make a lasting impression on the child. You must be a shining example of strength and honor for your young charge to follow, so that you may inspire them to become contributing members of the Horde. Be assured that they will always remember their special day with you. Especially when your Corcoran Guard escort must remind you that it is unbecoming of the Horde Warchief to scream like a little girl and beg to be let off the scary goblin rocketway ride. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.